That's all I need to know about you.
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 That's all I need to know about you. It's Hannah and Raven. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. You can call or text 1-800-330-9999. Yesterday, my 11-year-old daughter and I were shopping, and she like gives me the elbow nudge, and she's like, "Mommy, Mom, look, look." Mm. And I look up, and she goes, "That lady's wearing moutons on her face." And I go, "Oh," and I look. And, you know, she's talking, she says that the woman's wearing underwear on her face.
Right.
And I look over and there's this woman and she has the what I can describe is it's like basically like kind of lace.
I was going to say, was
underwear.
It a lacy mask or was it actual underwear?
No, it was like a lacy mask.
Yeah.
I looked at it, I go, it's not so much underwear as it is. Like
a doily.
A doily. You remember your grandmother's doilies?
Yes.
That you protect your furniture. I don't know if people still have them. I have them in my house. I don't know why.
Let's talk about doilies here for a minute, seeing how you bring it up. First off, what is it protecting when it has holes in it?
That's what I can't figure out.
It's just impossible to dust. And if you wash a doily, instantly it just disintegrates.
Well,
you can't put that in the washer.
My grandmother used to make a ton of them, and for some reason, in my family's from Italy.
Sure.
Every time somebody would get back from Italy, there would be so many more doilies all have.
Right.
So all my house is covered in doilies.
Right.
And as I was watching this woman with it strapped to her face, which clearly she could breathe in and out of it.
There's holes in it.
It defeats the purpose
right.
of wearing a mask. I was thinking to myself, never once did I think, let me take this 17-year-old doily from the top of my dresser
and
strap it to my face.
Well, you're repurposing those Italian vacation gifts now that you got.
Oh. Gio Mario's coming next week. I can't wait to get more doilies.
Pull out that doily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I need to know about you. It's strange.
It is a strange. Plus, the other thing was, you know, doilies on tables, you couldn't touch anything on the table because then the entire doily would get, like, screwed up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it would have a spot
true.
That was loose. It would have another spot that was tight.
Yep.
Now you try and rearrange it. Now grandma knows you touch the doily. You touch the table.
And it's not like if you spill on something of a doily,
it doesn't do anything.
Protect anything.
It doesn't do anything.
It's the same thing as wearing it as a mask.
Yes.
I can see your tongue. If I could see your tongue, that's not an appropriate mask. That should be a rule that they say.
It just says to me, fire hazard. That's what it says.
That's all I need to know about you.
Big football games over the weekend, and I can't believe I didn't get to this yesterday because it really stuck out to me. If you are actually wishing harm upon the opposing team in a game that you're not in, and a team that you don't play for or work for or own, that's all I need to know about you. I mean, it's one thing to be a fan, but it's something else to be like, kill him.
Oh, my gosh.
And actually want somebody's leg, like, busted.
I certainly hope that wasn't you, Raven.
No, of course it wasn't me. I'm just, it's not just necessarily people in the group. There was one guy, though, on the fringes of the group that I'm like, wow, why is he so angry about it? But just online and whatnot, like, people want people injured. It's so strange.
I have the same disagreement with my husband all the time because he gets, like, passionate during, like, the games. And I don't understand.
Right.
So I say to him, is that guy going to pay our mortgage? Is he going to pay our mortgage?
Right.
And then he gets so mad that I say that.
I suppose it's better that he's talking about football when he's doing it and not you guys, you know, coaching your daughter's soccer team.
That's true.
Right.
Right. I mean, you shouldn't talk that way about tweens.
That would be terrible. Yes.
Lori Rudiman is a writer and speaker, and she's the author of Betting on You, How to Put Yourself First and Finally Take Control of Your Career. And Lori, I read your article in the New York Post about being happy at work might just be all up to you. And I thought that was really interesting because, and I'll be honest with you, after I read the article, for the last few days, I've been doing this thing where I try to change my mind frame, change the way I think going in. I think a lot of people have this problem.
Well, I don't disagree with you. And I think that's why it's really important to have a conversation about ownership, accountability, and boundaries. When you own your life and you own your experience, you have to take it all under your own wing, good and bad. And so if you're having a great day, it's on you. And if you're having a bad day, it's really super easy to blame people. But that gets old. And also, we can spend our whole lives blaming people and never get to the root cause. That's why I advocate for people to get quiet, look internally and say, how can I fix this? How is this within my control?
Oh, my gosh. You should have seen Anna's face yesterday, Lori. I feel like maybe you were channeling that Zen for a few days there, Anna. But sometimes, you know, it would falter. If we're feeling weak and we're feeling like we want to lash out and blame people, how can we kind of reassess ourselves and say, nope, I can make it the next 3 hours?
Well, I think first and foremost, when you're in those high pressure situations, to get yourself out of it and then get quiet and ask, is this true? Is what I'm saying to myself actually accurate? Because we don't like to believe that we're liars, and we generally aren't, right? But we're real good at lying to ourselves. So that's the first step, just to ask yourself, is it true? And then I think the second and third step are up to you. You can ask yourself, how do I make it better? And how do I make it worse? And really identifying what are 2 to 3 things you can do to make the situation better in the next 2 to 3 hours, even if it's just go take a walk, get away from that person, get off email, and then ask yourself, how am I going to make this worse? And don't do it. Those are 2 really easy recommendations to fix something pretty quickly.
Now, your job, I shouldn't say your job now, obviously not, but your job, your old job was basically the George Clooney's character from the movie Up in the Air when you traveled around the country firing people.
Well, I'm not as handsome as George Clooney, and I was younger, so maybe I was more like the Anna Kendrick character. I don't know. But yeah, I went around as the pixie of the apocalypse, delivering bad news all over America and really all over the world. And it was no fun. Got pretty old quickly. And I brought all of that negativity and anger home with me.
So what would be the one tip that you would give to people, and especially now with the New Year's resolutions, you want to find the job you love, you want to change everything. What would be the number one tip or piece of advice that you would offer them?
You know, I used to think that it was the next job that was going to make me feel good, the next promotion, the next raise, the next title. And that's called arrival fallacy. You get there and you say, is that all there is? And it's like, yeah, dude, that's all there is, because you haven't done anything to improve yourself. So the one thing that we know through science and research is that bored and unhappy employees are not learning anything new. So I'm not going to tell you to go out and learn something new for your job, because you're probably pretty good at your job, but go out and learn something new. Get a hobby. Go do something interesting. That one thing that you can do safely in COVID that you haven't done in a while, go do it. Challenge your brain and see if you still hate that job as much as you hate it, or if you can find some redeeming qualities.
You can check out Lori Rudman's new book, Betting on You, How to Put Yourself First and Finally Take Control of Your Career. Lori, thank you so much for taking the time this morning.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks again.
On the game show, Name That Tune, they asked one of the contestants how he met his wife. Mm. And this is what he said.
We met online when we were both 12 years old on internet chat rooms. It was a My Little Pony chat that we met. We were 19 years old, and we met for the first time face-to-face in the Los Angeles airport.
Aww.
And honestly, seeing Lou run up that ramp, most magical moment of my life.
Oh, they met in a My Little Pony chat room.
Well, I mean, I'm glad they were both 12. All right. I mean, put that statement out first. All right. Put
yes.
that statement out first.
100%.
It's nice, though.
It's Anna and Raven. I think a lot of people always ask, like, how did you meet your significant other? Because
sure.
it's always an interesting story. Raven, how did you meet your wife, Alicia?
Well, I think you know this story, right? I was DJing at a bar. She came to the bar. We had a bunch of mutual friends that, you know, we ran into the same circles for like 10, 15 years. We had never seen each other, never met each other before. So she came up and requested a song that said, I'm here with my boyfriend, but I'd rather be here with you. That's what she asked for a song. And I played her a magical song from Ludacris.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
After that, the rest was history.
Yeah.
That's right.
When the first time I met my now husband, he was dating one of my friends, which is so shady. But I remember she was like, oh, I'm dating this new guy. He walked in the door and I was like, I'm going to marry that guy.
I immediately knew.
I knew.
Did you get rid of your friend at that point? You were like, it ain't going to be the same after this, because I know secretly in my stomach and in my heart, I know with every fiber of my being, that's my guy.
No, it felt weird. And it wasn't for years later. They had been broken up for years when we finally started dating. But
sure.
I just knew at that moment. How did you meet your significant other? 1-800-330-9999. You can call or text. Hi, it's Yana and Raven.
My husband and I met when we were both in the Navy. He was actually stationed on a submarine, and I was stationed on a sub-tender. And my job was to watch the hose as we drained the sprinkler system. And I'd put the hose down, and all of a sudden someone tripped the sprinkler system, and the hose looked like, you know, a cartoon. And he was on watch on the submarine below, so I had to go down and apologize to him. And so he said, how about we go out on a date? So we went on a date, and 5 months later, we got married. And this summer, we will have been married for 30 years.
Wow. Is he allowed to ask you out on a date?
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't a ranking officer or anything like that. He didn't order her to go on the date, did he? He didn't, right?
No.
You're ordered to go on a date with me.
Like,
I think that's
right.
Frowned upon.
Anna and Raven, how did you meet your significant other?
I met him in college. My first day of classes. I was 17 years old. He was a senior. We met in college choir. We were both singers. He never would admit it, but I said he chased me around the risers.
No, I believe you, because he was a senior and you were a freshman, and he was like a lion and you were like a steak. If you guys hadn't been in chorus, I would have said that your husband was a little bit of a fiend, all right? But at least he had that one redeeming quality.
Or he was like, where do all the good freshman girls go? I know. Choir.
Right. Yep. That's it. I'm going to let her in choir this year.
Was watching the game show Name That Tune, and one of the contestants said this, was asked when, how did he meet his wife?
We met online when we were both 12 years old on internet chat rooms. It was a My Little Pony chat that we met.
So funny the way people meet each other, right?
Well, thank God they were the same age.
Yes, 100%. But what unique way did you meet your significant other? 1-800-330-9999. Hey, Anna and Raven.
Actually, it was a practical joke. I worked with a man, a carpenter, and we used to work on a job, and people always called us brothers. We looked like brothers. So I went to the same hair salon that he went to and got the girl and said, I want you to make me look like Billy so we can look exactly like brothers. And while I was sitting there getting my hair done, the girl next to us that was there all jovial and all bubbly and whatever, I was looking and I said, she's going to be mine. And that was it. I was done.
No kidding.
So I actually proposed to her there. I proposed to her at the hair salon because that was the first place I ever saw her.
You know that feeling, right? You look at somebody and you don't know why, and all of a sudden you're like, I'm going to spend the rest of my life with you. It's a weird feeling,
that's
right?
It. Yep. So I'm still with her. We're married 37 years this year. She's still a hairdresser. I'm still a carpenter.
Well, congratulations.
Man.
Thank you for sharing the story.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What unique way did you meet your significant other?
I married my best friend's ex-husband. If you can believe that.
Oh boy, how'd that go over?
Actually, totally fine and normal, as weird as that sounds. They got married super young. It only lasted for like a year, and we didn't get together till like a decade later. So It wasn't even like, and she was remarried already at the time with kids. So it was like no big deal to her. He totally was changed. We were in a different place. So, like, it's a thing, but it's, like, it sounds weird when you say it, but
it's not actually all that crazy. I had a friend who they were married. I knew a couple. They were married. They got divorced, and they weren't even all that young. I mean, they were in their 20s when they got divorced. And it was a guy that we used to ride motorcycles with. He introduced his ex-wife to one of the other guys that we rode with, and they ended up getting married. Yeah. And they were all friends until actually that guy passed away, but they were all very good friends.
Really? It's fascinating. You know, they say it's a small world, but I guess if you run in the same circles, and what's the difference?
He was like, you guys would like each other.
Yeah.
He was like, you guys would be a good match. And turned out they are. 3 kids later.
Well, that's cool that it worked out so nicely.
That's very cool.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What unique way did you meet your significant other?
So I know it actually sounds a little crazy, but we met in an elevator.
Okay, so
in an elevator.
I mean, that's not that crazy.
Yeah, but you don't expect it to be stuck the second that you're inside of it. I was actually in a rush. I had to go help my grandmother with something, and I was coming down the elevator in my building, and there's a guy I'd seen in the hallway a couple of times, I guess. We got stuck in there, and I'm sweating and panicking. I did not look good, but apparently something worked, because when we finally got a hold of the police and everything to let us out, he actually just asked me for my number, and I was like this? Okay. We've actually been together for 3 years. So.
Stuck in the elevator is different, right?
I mean,
When I'm rushing in or out of an elevator, I'm barely paying attention to who's around me. Then, of course, if you keep me captive in there, that's different. Then you have my focus. You have my attention.
That's sweet. Had he ever seen you before in your apartment building, or was that like your first encounter, stuck in the elevator?
He'd never spoken to me, but he said he'd seen me around. He didn't tell me that in the elevator, thank God.
He may have actually broke that elevator on purpose.
Maybe. That's even more romantic.
Maybe.
Maybe not. Maybe that's stalkerish. I'm not sure. Yeah. Raven, quick.
Yeah.
You get home. You get unpacking all your groceries. You just went grocery shopping.
Sure.
Okay, where do you put your meat?
Meat goes in the fridge out in the garage, usually. It goes in the freezer.
Okay.
Depends on when we're going to eat it, obviously.
How about your fruits and vegetables?
Fruits and vegetables go in the fruits and veggies drawer.
Okay.
Yep, the moisture controlling drawer.
How about your saltines, your crackers, your Triscuits?
They go in the pantry, obviously.
How about your bread?
Bread goes on top of the microwave and one loaf in the freezer, usually.
Huh.
Hmm.
Tana and Raven.
That's where it fits.
I didn't know that this was a thing and that I was doing this wrong.
Yeah.
So when I grew up, we come home from the grocery store.
Sure.
I take out my Wonder loaf of bread and my mom would say, okay, go put it in the refrigerator, Anna. And I would store all the bread in the fridge. So we would get home and I still do it to this day. So I get home and the first thing I do is I take all my loaves of bread, my rolls for the week.
Everything, your hard rolls, everything.
Yeah. And I put it right in the refrigerator because it's got to last the whole entire week.
Yeah.
And my mom taught me that that's where you put it so it lasts, because if you leave it on the counter, it's going to get moldy after 2 days. And I've always learned that to be true. I've always believed it to be true.
If you put it in the fridge, like now your hard roll is no longer soft on the inside. It's not going to be tasty and delicious when you pull it out at this point. Now, it doesn't have mold on it. You made it to the end of the week, but it doesn't taste great.
But I've extended the shelf life on it. So now I only go grocery shopping once a week. So all this bread's got to last the entire week. So that's how I keep it fresh.
Yeah, I don't know. We have a bread drawer in my old kitchen because it's a super old kitchen, but the drawer itself like fell apart inside the drawer. So it's just the front of the drawer. So if you forget and grab the second drawer handle and you go and pull it out, no, it's just the front of a drawer and you'll have a hole there.
Well, that's
that's why it goes on top of the microwave now.
Well, I didn't realize that doing this was weird.
Yeah.
Until I, like, my girlfriend Gabby was over this weekend and she's like, why is all this bread in the fridge? I'm
right.
Like, oh, that. I'm like, what do you mean? She
was like, right. Why do you have rolls on top of your milk? You just shove them in on top? I'm trying to imagine. That's so weird.
I have a bread shelf in my fridge.
How can I even have a bread shelf?
Yeah.
I got no room for bread shelf in my fridge.
Right next to my yogurt.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't know this was weird. Is it weird to store bread in the fridge? Do you do that? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. Where do you store your bread?
We put it in the microwave. The microwave.
Yeah, a lot of people put the bread in the microwave. Yeah, that's the new bread box, basically. We look at that as like a sealed area.
In the microwave itself?
I'm telling you, the drawer was a bread box itself. Then there was a bread box. Now there's a microwave. It's just replaced the area. It's the same thing. It's like an airtight area.
Am I the only one that does this? You go your whole life thinking you're doing something right. You don't even question it. Then one person walks in your door, looks at you and says, why is your bread in the fridge? And everything falls apart.
Right. Immediately, your life is a sham at that point. You have to question everything.
It's Anna and Raven. I grew up with our bread being stored in the refrigerator. So I store our bread in the refrigerator. I get home from the grocery store. I get my loaves and they go right in. The rolls, the Wonder Bread, all of it goes directly in there. And I never questioned why. So my girlfriend comes over this weekend, says to me, she's like, why is your bread in the fridge? I'm like, because that's where you store it. Duh. And she's like, no, that's not true. You should never put your bread in the refrigerator.
Why would there be a bread basket? Why would there be a bread drawer? Why would there be these other areas where you put the bread, like the counter there? I mean, you cut into a roll. It's not supposed to be hard. I mean, yes, it's mold free if you kept it in the fridge, but it's no longer delicious. I need it fresh, baked, and delicious.
See, I always thought like fresh rolls were for like rich people in delis. Like
That's it.
That's it.
That's it. If you have them at your house, you must have a deli downstairs, right? Somebody's baking right now.
Like, no, this is going to last all week.
We have a French baker just locked up downstairs in the basement.
Where do you store your bread? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
I store my bread in the refrigerator, too.
All right.
I do the same thing, and it stays softer for a longer time.
Oh, I don't know about that.
When you take it out. Yeah, the rolls. If you put the rolls in as soon as you get them, take it out right before you're about to make it, you know, like maybe about 5 minutes before, they're soft.
I don't know.
I have no problem. I never have problems with none of mine.
And on Raven, where do you store your bread?
Well, the Italian bread we do put in the microwave, but my regular bread I do put in the refrigerator.
See? You guys are crazy.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Where's your bread?
Okay, well, now that it's just my husband and me and the kids are all grown and out of the house, I absolutely put it in the refrigerator. And if you put it on the microwave, it's going to make it moldy faster.
No, everybody knows you put it on top of the microwave, and then every time you put something in the microwave, you move it off the microwave. Come on. This is remedial.
See, Italian women put it in the fridge.
Oh,
yeah, I
don't
agree. Anna and Raven, where do you store your bread?
Okay, all three are very viable solutions. I agree with you keeping the bread in the refrigerator, definitely.
What?
Also an extra loaf in the freezer. But microwaves are complicated because if it's countertop microwave, it stays kind of warm and humid, and that's not good. One that's vented out usually is a little cooler, and that's okay.
See that? There's science behind the on top of the microwave based on the microwave that you have. Thank you, sir. You're clearly an engineer, and we appreciate it.
It's true. Hi, it's Anna on Raven. Where do you store your bread?
Anna, I have to tell you, I once saw a show all about bread and proper storage.
Really? What do they say?
Yeah, and it was a total show about yeast and how it stores best. And really, the show was said, you got to put it in the freezer or leave it on the counter. But putting it in the refrigerator makes it older fast.
See, I mean, they will give a TV show to anybody for anything nowadays.
Well, this is helpful.
Clearly, yeah, that was helpful to you. You're doing your bread wrong.
But I've been doing this my whole life, and it's worked.
I'd make a sandwich, and it would taste like a brick if it came out of the fridge.
But it lasts forever. It lasts the whole week.
Who cares? I mean, maybe I'm so wealthy, I just want to make sure I've got fresh bread all the time, and I don't care if it lasts more than 5 days.
Well, I go to that grocery store once a week. That's it.
That is the limit. It's not happening more often than that.
Who knew? Who knew this was such a hotly debated topic? Where do you store your bread? I didn't realize that it was weird that I store mine in the refrigerator until my girlfriend Gabby came over this weekend, and she's like, why is there all this bread in the fridge?
Right.
I go, what are you talking about? Where do you store your bread? And she says she puts it on the counter. I go, what do you mean you put it on the counter? It gets moldy after 2 days.
I've met Gabby. She's a smart person. Now I know even more so. She's definitely more like me.
I thought this was the way that
regular
everybody
Anna
did
Zapp.
It. 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna on Raven. Where do you store your bread?
In the microwave.
Microwave is like its own environment inside. It's like the space station. It's
what
safe.
I've realized, and I had this discussion with my husband the other day, is that we don't need a microwave anymore. I feel like I very rarely use the microwave.
Where are you going to put the bread then? Where are you going to put the bread if you get rid of the microwave?
Clearly the refrigerator. That's where my bread is. It's so funny because I feel like people don't know what to do with their microwaves anymore, and now they're making it bread boxes because there's no more such thing as a bread box.
No.
Anna and Raven, what do you do with your bread?
We put it on the washing machine.
Wait a
what?
Minute. Wait a minute. That can't be real.
What?
What is
it? Yes, it is. It's where we put it. We don't put it in the refrigerator. We just keep it on the washing machine.
Well, what happens when you have to wash it?
So wait a minute. Is the washing machine next to the refrigerator?
No, it isn't. It's near the pantry.
You okay. Want to make yourself a peanut butter and jelly. You got to go down to the laundry room. Push away
no,
the top.
It's right. First level. It's on the... It's,
okay.
All right. Imagine the spin cycle. What happens to your bread? It's just jiggling up there.
Just keeping it fresh.
And on Raven, where do you store your bread?
I definitely do not store it in the refrigerator.
Right? Because that's what crazy people would do.
Yeah. It's just like putting your ketchup not in the fridge. It goes in the refrigerator after you open it.
Well, see, now there's some people that do like the ketchup actually warm.
I just read a whole article about whether you should keep your butter in or out. That's a whole other conversation for a whole other time.
That. What about Worcestershire sauce? Huh? Come on.
You can't even say it.
Or A1. Worcestershire? You know what I mean.
Uh-huh.
That stuff.
And on Raven, where do you store your bread?
I store it in the refrigerator. I always did. Even though I don't have enough room, I squish it and put it in there.
Right. See?
And then when I take it out, I just put it in the toaster.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Mm. Yeah. You just pop it in the oven. It crisps up nice and perfect.
Oh, it's a lot of work. I mean, I could have just left it out.
But it would have been done.
No. If I leave it out, a mouse usually comes around and starts nibbling.
Well,
right, let's get some mouse traps.
Right. That's a different problem.
Thank you for the call, dear.
We should address that separately. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What do you do with the bread? Where do you store it?
Hey, you know, I'm like you. I put it in the fridge.
Mm. Yeah. See, I knew I wasn't alone with this.
Yeah, I mean, you're not alone, but you are incorrect.
That's not true.
I'm telling you, there's a TV show.
One Netflix documentary, and now we know everything about bread. Anna and Raven, where do you store your bread?
So the way to keep it fresh, I put it in the freezer in a Ziploc. And then the night before, you leave it out on the counter, and it's as fresh as the day you bought it.
Yeah, if you're desperate, though, and you bring it out of the freezer, you can break off a couple slices, and you can put them in for 10 seconds each on top of a paper towel. Boom, you're in business. I've been there.
But then you have to commit there. The night before to what you want for lunch the next day.
No. Always plan to eat lots. This is America.
Costco will be celebrating Valentine's Day by killing off their photo department.
It's so sad. I mean, they do such a good job in the photo department. What is going on here?
Well, they announced that they're going to be closing their photo department because, and the obvious reason, people just aren't printing pictures like they used to, Sienna and Raven. So if you have pictures that you ordered still there, you have until March 28th to pick them up. And then I guess they just throw them in the garbage. What else are they going to do with them?
Let me tell you what's so ironic here is that my wife and I just joined Costco like last year. Mm-hmm. I know we're the last people on the planet. We're the last people on the planet. But we are just putting up all the pictures on our walls in our house. And we print everything at Costco.
But you
so you now ruined our life, Costco. Thank you very much.
You can still order online and have them sent to you, but you can't go in.
My wife has to adjust things and filter things and zoom things. Yeah, how are you going to do that online?
I didn't think this was such that big of a deal, considering, I mean, it's true. You don't really print that many pictures anymore, and usually it's online. But I started reading the comments. Here's one. Our great-grandchildren will never know what it's like. No, our great-grandchildren will never know what we looked like because of this decision.
That's right. I was because like, they're not on. What? If you're not on your cell phone, all right? If they're not on the cell phone, you'll never see them again.
Another message. I ordered photos from Costco in 2016. Still haven't picked them up. That's the problem.
Well, you better get there.
How about this comment? Do you think they'll replace the photo section of the store with more free samples? God, I hope so.
You know, people are trying to make light of this thing, but it's serious, all right? It's serious. Where else am I going to go when I need an 8x10 now at this point, all right?
Well, I think...
The home cannon is not pulling it off.
What we should do is give the photo department at Costco a proper burial. We should give it a eulogy. And say goodbye to it.
At least hold it in some sort of reverence like that. Have you prepared something, please? Some written statement, if you would?
I have.
Oh, good. Please.
Costco's photo department took passport photos, and now who will fill that void? My Costco card picture is always the best. Turns out when pictures are slightly blurry and black and white, I am a lot better looking. And I owe that to you, Costco Photo Department. You will be missed, Photo Costco Center. You were so bright. Overexposed, usually. But you were like a candle in the wind, never knowing who to cling to when technology set in. And I would have liked to known you, but I was just using my cell phone camera. Your candle burned out long before your legend ever did.
Why?
What?
Why?
I'm just saying goodbye.
Every time.
What?
Every time we do a funeral.
Yep.
You have to turn it into Elton John at Princess Di. I mean, it was 1,000 years ago, and you weren't there.
It also works for the burial of the Costco photo department.
It's like you have a twitch or something. It's like just built in you. You can't get away from it.
Would you like to say goodbye to Costco technology photos?
I'm sad. I'm already crying. I left my dirt on the coffin. I left it there as I walked away. Where are the finger sandwiches? I'm going to the after event.
Well, turns out that technology has killed off not just the Costco photo department, but a lot of other things that we were so accustomed to, and they also need a proper burial. Probably with references to Elton John and Princess Diana.
I'm gonna try and hold that part back.
If you missed it earlier, Costco announced that they're killing off their photo department. No more.
It's so sad. I've had so many photographers tell me over the years, they do it better than anybody. I go there, my wife handles all that print nonsense, but she never screams at them, so that's a good sign.
It's Anna and Raven. So March 28th is your last day to pick up your photos, and on Valentine's Day, February 14th, that's it. The photo department is done. You can still order online. So if you missed it a few minutes ago, we gave a funeral to the Costco photo department. But let's be honest, technology and COVID has killed off a lot of other things.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, this hasn't been the first stop on the death train. It's happened left and right, Anna. And sometimes we really, really, really love these things. So they deserve a little bit of reverence, right? Mm-hmm. A eulogy.
All right, Raven. Well, I think we should give a funeral to some of our favorite things that are gone now because of technology.
Oh, I'd like to take you back to yesteryear, Anna Zapp. A thing called dial-up. Oh, dial-up passed away some time ago. Back in 05, an anxious college student waited patiently for their emailed resume to be received by a prospective employer while facing challenges such as their sister chatting on total phone or mom picking up the line to listen as if you were talking to an old girlfriend and, of course, interference from the neighbor's microwave. But the technology was amazing for its time. How else could you send an unreadable fax of proof of insurance to a car dealer over the course of 2 hours? Rest in peace, dial-up.
Rest in peace, dial-up.
There was more to this speech, but it's still buffering. I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah. You know what I want to say goodbye to and give a proper farewell, Raven?
What's that?
The phone book.
Oh, poor sad phone book.
Oh, phone book. For years, you would loyally show up on my doorstep, hundreds of pages of strangers' names and people I'll never call. But you had so many other uses. You were the perfect alternative to firewood to keep the fireplace going. You were so thick, I could strap you to my chest in case a ninja karate chopped me. And I could stand on you to reach the highest shelf in my pantry. You will be missed, phone book.
Now it just shows up and it's on your lawn and you're like, this thing still weighs 8 pounds.
When it shows up, I don't even get it anymore.
Who has a job still delivering these things? I'll take it back to another one that's gone by the wayside, Anna Zapp. Folded maps. Oh, folded maps are gone thanks to MapQuest and GPS.
Give it a proper burial, please.
As we gather today, I know that we all long for the simpler times of yesteryear. A time when distracted driving didn't mean reading a text or liking pics on Facebook while careening down the street at 80 miles per hour. It meant there was a 5x5 paper map straddling your lap as you navigated the merging highways in cities you weren't familiar with. I mean, how else would criminals know you were the easiest mark at the stoplight? Thanks for the memories, paper maps. We miss you.
Bye, paper maps. Remember they used to be in your glove compartment, like 10 of them?
Oh, gosh. And I mean, you couldn't fit anything else in there.
One
Forget
more.
About a napkin.
Okay, one more, okay?
Yes.
I have to give a eulogy for something that's very, very, well, controversial. Cursive handwriting.
Oh, I'll miss you. I still do it.
Goodbye, cursive handwriting. You survived world wars, the fall of the Berlin Wall, even when Brad Pitt left Jennifer Aniston for Angelina Jolie. But unfortunately, text messages and computers have destroyed you. 8-year-olds everywhere will have no idea what it's like to learn how to write a capital G. Your loops were more complicated than roller coasters, but now our signatures, all they are, it's pretty much like emojis at this point.
It's an X.
Yeah, exactly.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. Then you get to decide who's right. Gina, what's going on?
So I have this new friend. We've been hanging out. You know, she's really great. But my husband thinks he can decide who I hang out with, and he doesn't want me to hang out with her.
Robert, why do you think you can tell your wife who she can and can't hang out with?
I don't think that, but this friend, she's like a bad influence on her. I mean, she's recently divorced. She's going out all the time, spending all her money. I just don't think she's right for her. Like, you should see her Instagram, like, these scandalous pictures. You know, it's just wild nights and partying, and I don't know. I don't know.
Well, let's put it in context, Robert, right? So, I mean, it's not like she's a lawbreaker or a terrible person or whatever. She's just got a different lifestyle at this moment. But, and there's something to be said about friends with similar lifestyles and those with different lifestyles, Anna.
Yeah, but Gina, you're not going out and spending all your money and staying out late and doing all these things, right? Like, how often are you hanging out with her?
No, we go to the gym and we go out to dinner once a week.
I mean, Robert, what's the big deal about that?
Yeah, right now. And what are you doing when you're going to... I see her Instagram. Who knows what you're doing when you're going out to once a week to the bars and everything?
I mean, that sounds like different questions right there. But, I mean, has Gina ever given you any reason to worry or whatever?
No, honestly, no. Not so far. But I am worried of what could happen. I just don't like this girl. I don't know. This just rubbed me the wrong way.
So what you don't like is her Instagram, and you don't like her lifestyle, and you don't want your wife hanging out with her. And it's okay to say that, because you have every right. It's your wife. If you feel that way, it is what it is.
Right. Often intuition is actually correct, as we know, right? But sometimes you see this too, Anna. I've seen it before. Somebody in the group gets divorced. Those that continue to saddle up, choose that person in the divorce there, go out with that lifestyle. And guess what? Oh, a couple more divorces coming. Here they come.
Now, I think the question is does Robert have a say on who his wife hangs out with outside of their home? Gina has a friend. It's a friend that she had met over the gym, at the gym for the last couple of years. And, you know, they go out once a week, work out. The thing is, Robert don't like her. Robert, that's his wife, says, I see her Instagram post. She's divorced. She's bad news. She's always posting pictures of her drinking. I don't want you hanging out with her. But does he have a right to say that?
I mean, he has a right to be worried about the fact that his wife all of a sudden has a new friend that's living a completely different lifestyle than they're living. It's a new friend. I'm going to go out. I just got divorced. I'm living this type of lifestyle. That is not your lifestyle if you're somebody that is at home in a trusting relationship. Yeah.
But can't she be friends with whoever she wants to be friends with if he trusts his wife?
Hey, if you're going out once a week, that's fine. You're going out 3-4 times a week, that's not the way it would normally work if you were a married woman being at home.
Yeah, but she
said... A lot of people would feel that way.
She said they only go out once a week.
Yeah.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Tan on Raven.
I'm on the side of the wife. I think that the husband should be able to voice his opinion. I think he's just trying to be a little too controlling and insecure.
Gina has this girlfriend that she had met at the gym, and now they hang out socially maybe once a week. But her husband, Robert, can't stand her because He says she's a bad influence because she's divorced and she posts too many pictures of her going out on Instagram.
Listen, if you're worried, right, all of a sudden your wife has got a new friend she's going out with. She never did this type of stuff before. And this other person's got a totally different attitude that's foreign to you. You don't know her. It's understandable that he could feel insecure. But does he have the right to lock his wife down?
Yeah. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court, Anna and Raven.
I'm on the wife's side. I think that if he trusts his wife, that's who he should be. You know, he shouldn't worry about his wife. He should worry about the other person. If he trusts his wife, there's nothing to worry about.
I agree. Anna and Raven, whose side are you on this morning?
Well, I'd like to back up a little bit and look at more of the reasons why this woman got a divorce, and that might be some clues to why things might change in a good marriage.
You know, I mean, you hear the tone that people don't want to be controlled. At the same time, like, your partners, it's not about control. If you do something that upsets your partner deliberately over and over, like, how long do you think that they're going to put up with that? Do you take for granted just because you're married, they'll put up with that forever?
And on Raven, whose side are you on?
Hey, I get where he's coming from, and it's kind of like guilt by association. You don't want your kid hanging out with gang members. But if she doesn't understand where he's coming from and she continues this, then they don't have enough respect for each other.
Right.
He has no right to tell her who to hang out with.
Thank you for the call.
He does not have a right to tell her who to hang out with. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. She should just do the right thing. Right.
But you can't judge people based on what they post on Instagram. I mean, unless they're doing things that are terrible. He's like relating her to a gang member. That's a far leap.
No. The caller said you don't want your son hanging out with gang members. Husband never said anything about her new friend is a gang member. Just said that she's, you know, living a different life.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Gina, our audience agreed with you. Robert, Gina has never given you any reason to think that she may be doing anything questionable. Then you have to trust her judgment on who she wants to be friends with.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Gina, that's going to make you happy.
Yeah, she's a good friend. All he sees is what he sees on Instagram, and that's not the sum total of who she is.
And Robert, you're going to be good with that, right? You're going to respect, like, she can be friends with whoever she wants.
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to try.
Robert,
we'll see how it goes.
It's acceptable, Robert, for you to tell her that this makes you feel a little bit nervous, all right? That makes you feel jealous or insecure or whatever. That would be a better way than saying, hey, you just can't hang out with this person. People don't like rules. They don't like to be told what to do.
It's true.
Okay.
All right, if you have a problem, too, send an email.
Right.
couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
This is Amy.
Amy, you're up. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Amy.
All right, Amy. We've got five pop culture questions. I'm going to ask them to you. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll then bring Raven back into the studio and ask him the same five questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. But if you could beat him, that jackpot today is $1,000. You ready to play?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, number one, the fast food chain with the slogan Live Mas has announced they will bring back their fan favorite potatoes. What fast food chain restaurant is that?
Taco Bell.
Number two, Stranger Things Season 4 will be released this September. What is the name of the fictional town where Stranger Things takes place?
Hawkins, Indiana.
Number three, Dua Lipa is on the February cover of Rolling Stone. One of her biggest hit singles is One Kiss. What DJ does she partner with on that song?
I don't know.
Number four, Hulu has announced they will offer a $2 monthly streaming plan for college students. What is the parent company of Hulu? Time's up.
Amazon? I don't know.
Number five, Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel finally confirmed that they welcomed a second son named Phineas. In what animated movie does JT voice the character Branch?
I don't know.
Oh, Amy, not so great. Well, they were hard. Maybe
I
don't know. Let me bring Raven back in. Come on, Raven.
Yo.
Okay, Amy got 2 out of 5.
Not too good.
Yeah.
Let's see how I do.
Number one, the fast food chain with the slogan Live Mas has announced they will bring back their fan favorite potatoes. What fast food chain is that?
Taco Bell.
Yes.
Yes.
Number two, Stranger Things Season 4 will be released this September. What is the name of the fictional town where Stranger Things takes place?
Hawkins.
That's right. Hawkins, Indiana.
One of my favorite shows.
Number three, Dua Lipa is on the February cover of Rolling Stone. Mm. On her biggest hit single, One Kiss, what DJ does she partner with?
Oh, is it Diplo?
No, it's Calvin Harris.
Oh, yes. I should have known that.
Number four, Hulu has announced they will offer a $2 monthly streaming plan for college students. What is the parent company of Hulu?
Isn't it Disney?
Yes, it is Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And number
$2,
five,
though. Make those kids pay.
I mean, they're in college.
Oh, stop with the nonsense. They're in college.
And number five, Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel finally confirmed that they welcomed a son named Phineas. In what animated movie does JT voice Branch?
That's Trolls.
Trolls is correct.
Woo, look at me.
I'm sorry, Amy. He beat you 4-2 this morning. We will give you an Anna on Raven t-shirt, okay?
Thank you. My name is Amy, and I can't beat Raven.
Thanks for trying, Amy. Hold on the line.
Better luck next time. More money goes in the pot, Anna Zapp.
That's right. Tomorrow morning, same time, we will give you your shot at $1,100 cash. That jackpot's getting up there.